microphone recording. There we go. I did it.
Yay.
Might as well tell. Okay, this is going to be pretty freewheeling again, and they want background and stuff, so if there's any questions, you can answer any questions you want in any way you want. But
okay.
Okay. But it has to be official, so we're going to start. This Monday, June the 2nd, 2008, I'm Robert Enright, and I'm in Sag Harbor, New York, to interview April Gornick for the Smithsonian Archives of American Art. This is tape one. You know, I don't know much about Cleveland, and I want to get you to reminisce about growing up there and what it was like. And obviously, this is only in the context of you being an artist, but I'm interested in knowing what your memories of the city are and what it was like growing up there.
Well, the city was different from where I grew up in the suburbs. The city was, you know, even by the time I was there, a bit of a Rust Belt city. When I was little was when the Cuyahoga famously burned. The river caught on fire from the chemicals in it. I wasn't aware of it at that age, but everyone knew that it was a bit of a joke. And the inner city was marked by being, by having a pronounced kind of segregation. There were a lot of poor African American people in the inner city, and then there was the suburbs, which is where I grew up, in a suburb that was lower middle class and very kind of not even Levittown, like lower middle class. And then I think it was built probably immediately after the war. I was told that when my parents first purchased the house I grew up in, which was really, really small, that there were fields out behind them with strawberries and things growing in them, and they quickly turned into this burst of suburbs that just kept going on infinitum. And even as a child, I think I felt the restriction of that. I didn't like it particularly. I was living in my head so much of the time, and when I'd look around me, I'd see that the actual boundaries of my life were very narrow, and it never felt comfortable. So I can't say that that place was great. And you know, it was just absolutely classic suburbs: the flat lawn, the one tree every several yards, the sidewalk, the tree lawn. Everything was very orderly and very much the same. The area of the street that I grew up on was particularly more bleak than
the street was obviously bleak and bleakest.
Yeah, it was. Well, there was a slightly older part of the street towards the main road, and then back where my house was, it was kind of more standardized, shall we say. And then around it in every direction for miles and miles and miles. The only way I remember it is just being one house after another. Mm-hmm. And eventually, if you drove a little ways, you'd get to what we all considered the country, which wasn't really, it was just slightly less developed. And there were a couple of horse riding places there, which I profited from as a child, which was a great excitement for me. And some woodsier areas further out that, as I grew up, became developed as more suburbs. So I just grew up in a really suburban context.
Did you say you lived inside your head as a child a lot? Did you get encouragement at home from your parents to be a child whose imagination was richer than the space in which he was occupied?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, my mother was a huge reader. She'd always said that she was not interested in little children, little babies and infants. She had no real patience for that stage of life, and I think that it made her very happy when I was old enough to read and take care of myself and have a book and absorb myself in it. And she did like reading books to me when I was little, so my fantasy life and reading went hand in hand, and I played outside a lot and had a lot of had very elaborate imaginative narratives going on with the horses that I played. I played with horse statues a lot and dinosaurs and stuff like that. I had a toy train. I didn't really play with dolls very much. I was a bit of a tomboy, and I liked to pretend.